I'd like to call to order a special call board meeting of the Board of Education. We have one item on the agenda. It's approval of the adoption of the FY17 budget, and this is a second reading. I would entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. All those in favor of approving, no, what am I, I'm thinking of something else. Approving the agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Tonight's meeting is the second reading of approval of the adoption of the FY17 budget. I'd here entertain a recommendation from the superintendent.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the adoption of the FY17 budget on second reading.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. At our last meeting, in the first reading of the budget, during the time of the public forum or hearing on that budget, there were some questions and concerns that were brought forth to the board that had relationship to some curriculum changes, which do have an impact on the budget as well. So after reviewing the information and having conversation and being provided information from the superintendent and the principal of Oak Ridge High School, this board felt like it was important to respond to those questions that were asked. So Dr. Borchers, I'll turn to you.
Absolutely. As the board can recall, our newest board members haven't been there this long, but for the last 3 years, we've used attrition when a staff member retires or leaves. We've used attrition at the elementary level. Last year, we used that at the high school level, but it is a different approach when you look at the high school versus an elementary classroom teacher. So we've been making cuts like these for the last 3 years, and unfortunately, especially at the elementary level, when we don't refill those positions, those class sizes go up and those class sizes grow. And that is a natural consequence of using attrition. But that was one of the things that the strategies we used to help balance our budget. But I would like Mr. McDonald to come up, and I know the board realizes how these decisions and staffing adjustments have been recommended, but I thought it would be helpful if Mr. McDonald could share his strategy and process around these staffing adjustments. So, Mr. McDonald.
Good evening. So I wanted
before,
to have
before you start, if you'll pull that microphone up just a little bit before Dave fusses at me right there, perfect.
Is that better, Dave? Thank you for the opportunity to come and kind of take you through the processes of how I arrived at the staffing recommendations that were shared with you last week. Just like the superintendent mentioned, attrition tends to be an easy way for us to go about some staffing adjustments. It's not always the most strategical in the way of George Bush's word of ways of going about those kinds of changes. If there is an opening or a retirement or a resignation at an opportune time in an opportune area, that can work out really well. Unfortunately, this year in the areas of retirements and resignations did not align with where we could most afford to have a staffing adjustment. And so I wanted to kind of take you through the process that I used to arrive at the recommendations that I did. The first thing I did was I looked at all the departments in the building. Some of them are larger than others. Some of them have taken on additional responsibilities that are new to them in the last couple years. And some of them have an additional number of graduation requirements that are associated with them. So, of course, in an English department, we have 4 graduation requirements in English 1, 2, 3, and 4. Same thing with math. We have 4 math requirements for graduation. So that's where I started. Our two biggest departments are obviously English and math. Those obviously also have the most graduation requirements associated with them, but they also are now taking on the responsibility of providing the tier support for the RTI model that went into effect this year. So the next thing I did was I began looking at the student registration numbers to see if there was any opportunity within registration to determine if there was a capacity that was not in alignment with demand. And the one area that stood out in that was in our business department. We had 15 courses that were available in our business department, and we had the staffing or the student request to fill 11 of those 15. I'm sorry, 8 of those 15. So that was an area that was pretty clear, was an opportunity for a staffing adjustment. The next thing we looked at was in the department of ROAR. ROAR has been around for quite some time as an opportunity to help students who are off grade level get back on grade level and then work to graduate on time with their class. And because we've had several changes this year and in recent past where now we're utilizing RTI to intervene in the classroom prior to a student not being successful in that classroom, and because we have the opportunities for online credit recovery programs like E2020, and because we are doing more tier support through our special ed and through that RTI process, the demand for those ROAR courses was not the same and therefore provided a second opportunity for a staffing adjustment. And then the next thing I wanted to look at was look at our existing programs to see where there was an opportunity for us to make some adjustments so that we could have a staffing adjustment and not have a drop-off in the quality of service or the depth of service that we were able to provide for our students. And one of the areas that stood out in this was in the Department of Art. Currently this year we're offering 15 art classes, and those 15 art classes are serving about 290 students. The potential was there to make some staffing adjustments by adjusting the student capacity in the foundations of art classes. Our current capacity for each of those classes was right around 21. I think it was 20.6 this year. And by increasing that to 26, we are able to minimize the lost opportunity there. Another opportunity within art that existed is we are currently serving 16 students in an AP art course. And we looked at opportunities through our partnership with Roan State to be able to provide a dual enrollment art history course that would be taught by the Roan State faculty for our students. And that would then free up another one of our teachers to have another course to help meet the needs of our art students in the building. The changes did not impact the number or quality of the ceramics courses that we are offering, the photography classes that we're offering, or the two-dimensional art classes that we're offering. The only course that would not be offered this following year that is currently available at Oak Ridge High School would be the theatrical art and design class. This class currently has 20 students in it. And so one of the things that we did to try to minimize that impact was we had an opportunity to create a new program called a Masters Theatrical Production class. This class, rather than being taught by an art teacher, would be taught through one of our science members who oversees the Masters program and would allow for students to be working on creating costume design and set design throughout the year for both our fall and our spring's Masters productions. We lose the opportunity for the theatrical art and design class. We create a new opportunity in the theatrical production class. And with the existing spaces that are still available in some of our classes, it looks like we'll be able to serve a total of 270 art students as compared to this year with 290. So the impact was relatively minimal. And the one thing I also wanted to share is there is a graduation requirement that is associated within our arts program, both visual arts and performing arts. Students are required to earn a fine art credit in order to graduate. They can earn that credit still in our building through chorus, band, orchestra, dual enrollment art history, and for the first time they can do it as well through our digital arts program that we have through our CTE offerings. So because of the fact that we were able to minimize the impact, still provide a breadth of services to our students, and we're currently still working with our Roan State partners to see if there's an additional art course that we could offer in the morning as well for some of our advanced students that would like to take it. Those were the reasons that those three staffing adjustments I felt comfortable with sharing with the board. I just wanted to wrap up by saying it's really never easy looking at staffing adjustments. You've got to consider the impact that it's going to have on students. You have to think about the impact it's going to have on the programs that you want to have and continue to have in your building. You want to make sure that you're doing it in a way that's sustainable for the whole school as it moves forward. I didn't arrive at these staffing adjustments arbitrarily. It was through a lot of thought and discussion and conversation within my admin team looking at critical and creative ways that we could continue to provide a level of service that our students have come to expect at Oak Ridge High School. I just want to say that it in no way is a representation of how the administration or how I personally feel towards these three programs of business, art, and ROAR, all of which I think are exceptionally valuable programs that our students have come to love and need and require. These were just the places where we had the ability to absorb a staffing change, a staffing adjustment, and continue to provide a level of service that our students would benefit from.
Thank you. Comments or questions from the board? Mr. Eby.
Just a question, Mr. McDonald. So there was 290 that we could serve this past year. 270 we'll be able to serve the coming year. When do the students register, and how many have registered for that right now? Do you know? Or
let me be clear about a couple things. One, 290 was not the capacity of what we could serve this year. It's the actual number of students that we served this year. The registration process began in February. Students are provided with a course guidebook, and they're able to go through that and select the courses for themselves. Those numbers we then use to generate the master schedule and make these decisions as we move forward about what to offer. The 270 students does not include those students that we are able to serve through the digital arts program. Some of those students are already enrolled in those courses and we're taking those. Others we've already began rescheduling in, since we're going to now have, I believe, five foundations of art classes instead of eight. And so those numbers aren't indicative of that that number. And those numbers, that 270, also does not include any additional dual enrollment art that we may move forward with through our partnership with Roan State.
And just curious, how many do you expect in the digital arts classes to sign up?
We currently have three classes on our schedule, and I anticipate they will all be full.
How many is in a class?
I think they're capped at 25.
Thank you.
And I think that's the cap is due to existing computers in the lab space.
Thank you.
Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, so just a couple of questions, just for clarity. And first, I will say, having seen all the documentation that you've sent to the board over the last several weeks, I'm very impressed with the thoughtfulness that's gone into your plan. So there's obviously been a desire to meet the needs of the students that you're serving at the high school, and so thank you for all the documentation you provided.
Absolutely.
But just to drive some clarity, are there any limitations associated with dual enrollment and taking a class at Roan State?
Yes. So one of the limitations that would be a divergence from the AP art history is dual enrollment is only available for juniors and seniors. So one of the students, when I went back and looked at the existing AP art history numbers, there were, I think, 15 students who had registered for that. All but one was a junior or senior. There was one sophomore. That sophomore, of course, still would have the opportunity to take the dual enrollment art history. They would just have to wait until the junior or senior year.
Okay. And once they take that class at Roan State, and the, obviously the trade-off is you're going to have a highly qualified faculty at Roan State as well, so that's a positive. Do they take just the Roan State course for college credit, or do they also have the option of taking the AP in addition in case that credit won't transfer everywhere they might want to go? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so they would dual enrollment credit allows for a student to receive high school credit and college credit where those are transferable. So those are transferable everywhere within the Tennessee university system. Those students who are transferring out, some of our students who go to elite universities right. wouldn't be able to use that. But many of our students have found that most of their AP credits don't also transition out to the elite programs.
Okay. The theater production, that doesn't count as an art credit for state graduation requirements anymore. Is that correct?
That's a great question, and it's something that we're looking into right now, trying to see if it can. If we have the opportunity to have that count, it would. It wouldn't need to count as a fine art credit because we still have the foundations of art class, which is a prerequisite for all the other art classes that we have in the building. So even the theatrical design program that we would no longer be able to have, foundations of art was a credit that was required as a prerequisite to advance into that program, and that credit in itself would meet the requirement for graduation.
Okay. And then I guess the final question, if based on student need now, this decision has been made to move to a new way to staff, to where we are going to utilize dual enrollment because we have a relatively modest number of students who are interested in the AP art history class, if desire on the part of students and interest on the part of students merited us having a staff internally, and that became a more cost-effective way of meeting the need, is there anything that prevents you from reallocating a staff member into the art department to cover that internally, or is this a forever commitment?
No, you know, one of the things that all these decisions are based on are sustainability. So this just gives us flexibility. We have total control about what we add and put in and take out. In fact, originally the AP art history was still on the AP or in the art scheduling, but through conversations with the art department members, they felt like they would prefer to offer the ninth grade honors art rather than the AP art history, especially in light of the fact that dual enrollment was available. If in the future that changed and they wanted to move back in that direction, we could. And we could also look at staffing outside of the two-member art department for that if we needed to.
Okay.
But it would always be as forever, we would always try to have our classes make based upon student demand. So if the student demand is there, that's where we would want to move in the direction of.
Okay. I guess just a final word. Keep us posted as this transitions to help us understand if something does change, if interest changes, or if students end up having difficulty with that scheduling to make dual enrollment work. We'd want to know that, I think, just for sake of understanding how the transition's going.
Absolutely.
But no, I appreciate the thought and the consideration that's gone into your plan. Thank
you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Other questions? Ms. Eagle.
Well, I'd first like to echo Ms. Marshall's compliments in the thoroughness that you have put into this and the detail of explanation. It's very helpful to be able to see the justification. One of the other areas that is affected, that has had less conversation about, though, is taking away the planning period for department heads. Has there been some discussion about maybe reallocating some of their duties that are less high level, like the collection of textbooks kind of thing, to take some of that burden off of them? Because I am a little concerned about asking the department heads to do as much more work as they do for no more time and no more money. There is no stipend. There is no extra pay. We're just asking them to work an hour a day longer for the prestige of it. And we have some excellent department heads. I don't want to lose them. I don't want them to say, oh, I don't want that job anymore, because sure, we rely on them for helping hire in their departments. So will those duties be spread out a little more?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So as I've had conversations moving forward with the department heads, that's a concern that's been echoed. So there's two different things that we're looking at right now. One is how can we provide, how can we assist in the reallocation of those duties or the distribution of those duties within the department? There are some things that I would really like staffing recommendations and sitting in on the interview process that I think are absolutely critical for their expertise and their knowledge of their existing talent in the pool and the personalities within their department is absolutely critical and invaluable in. And then there's things like maintaining the lab and checking to make sure that the departmental computer lab is up and running and is functional that I think could be delegated out across the board. So we're working with our department coordinators in that on that right now. And to be honest, again, English and math are our two largest. There's a 14-person department there, and they have very different challenges than let's say a business department with two, or a PE health and wellness department with four. We're trying to help identify some efficiencies within that group. And to be honest, I'm also looking at the possibility of setting up a stipend for them, which I don't really think would in any way, shape, or form be an hourly representation of the time that they put into it. It's more of a symbolic gesture and a recognition of the hard work and the commitment that they do to better Oak Ridge High School every day and to make their departments the strongest that they can be.
Any other questions to Mr. McDonald? Oh, sorry, Ms. McClain.
The dual enrollment art classes that we will be offering, the professor from Roan State will be coming to Oak Ridge High to teach those classes?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
At this time, I would ask the board if there are additional questions that they would like to ask or comments they would like to make concerning the adoption of the FY17 budget. I would just like to echo a comment that I think probably all of us have made at some point in time during this process. This has been a very unusual year, and I think for several reasons it has been an unusual year, unusual in the fact that this process was as smooth as I can remember it in a long time. And I think that, and I think Mr. Eby, you pointed this out or commented to this at our last meeting, that has to do with those people who are responsible for putting this budget together. And that goes from Karen to you and your staff and to Mr. Lay and to the superintendent and to the principals who've asked for everything but don't always get everything. But that's the process, and this process works. And I think we have a fair and reasonable budget request. And once this budget is adopted and then submitted to the city will have a first reading of the budget on June 6th, and then a final second reading and adoption, I believe, on June 13th. Hope those dates are correct, and we'll see what happens from there. It's important as a board that we don't eliminate our input once we adopt, as you all know. Our voice is still very important, as is the voice of the community and those interested in education. Who want us to continue to move forward. So I know we'll do that, and we look forward to the successful completion of this process in the very near future. So hearing no one else, the motion on the floor is to adopt the FY17 budget on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Before we adjourn, this will probably just make me feel better. Let me say first, I appreciate the students and your desires to participate, to be heard, to be involved, and to do it the right way. That's important. We do listen. If we weren't listening, we would have not gone through the process that we did tonight to present this information on this topic. So we appreciate that. Also, it's quite interesting, and I know this is something that will never change. I wish Mr. Langley were here. I understand he's a little under the weather. I know this will never change, but I guess we can continue to speak out about it. It's interesting, and you're going to hear when we get to our agenda, many of the good things are going on in Oak Ridge schools. But it's interesting to me that when there is a controversy, that controversy or that decision-making process finds its way to the headlines of the news media. We have the news TV station here tonight, and that's fine, and we accept that. That's part of our responsibility. This year has been the best since I've been on the board of disseminating information to the public, and Holly Cross, I give you compliments for helping make that happen. The information's out there. Of course, we don't have any control over who uses it or when they use it. But I use just a couple examples. Mr. Lay and Dr. Borchers accompanied a group of students from Robertsville Middle School last Friday to Huntsville, Alabama, to the Huntsville Space Center to make a presentation to NASA. Should that not be a headline? Is that not something that should be a headline? So I just feel a lot better saying that. I'd like to see the news media put us in the headlines when there's the good things that are going on. Not that this was a bad thing, but it seems like it's the controversy that draws the headlines of our news media. Yes, we do make the paper, and I bet that will be in the newspaper somewhere, but it'll probably be hidden back somewhere in the inner sanctums of the newspaper. So, like I say, I just feel better saying that. We're adjourned.